Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The beauty of living in Austin is you never know who's going to show up and come into town. Get a ton of comedians, ton of live music, and some pretty decent food here. Today, we've got Breaking Benjamin here. God damn it. It's just the two of you.
Yep,
it's just the rest of the band is trash at this point. It's trash. We got Jason Rao. We got Keith Wallen. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, man. Thank
Glad
you.
Glad to be here.
You were on the sports show earlier. You're a dirtbag. You've got a mullet. You're a huge Tennessee Volunteers fan, so it fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only surprising part is you're not wearing a shirt with a fucking pack of cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve.
No.
That's later.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it? Is it later?
And if you were a Cowboys fan, you would include jean shorts in that.
Sure would.
I don't know if Tennessee does jean shorts.
Yeah. Some jorts.
Do they do jorts? Yeah. They jorted up down there?
That's the Gators.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
That's you got to do the pro. South. You got to do the pro jort move. By the way, don't buy jorts. You buy jeans and make them into jorts.
Yep, exactly.
Like, if you buy jorts like already made, then I don't respect.
You don't
that.
Pre-jort. No. You never pre-jort in this life. You know?
Premature jorting.
Yeah. So. When you premature jort, dude, you're out on life, and your wife could leave you at any second. Keith, let's start with you first.
All right.
Any are you related to Morgan Wallen? That's what people are asking in the
any
chat.
Any relation. That's where we're going with this.
You know, we talked about it, but I don't think we are. Maybe we're from the same area, location.
Have you guys chatted in real life?
Not in real life, just Instagram.
You know, okay.
Just the DMs.
But, so he slid into your DMs?
He did.
I actually, you know, I think I hit him up. I was like, yo, go Vols. And then he hit me back. He's like, go Vols.
So oh, is he a Vols fan too?
Yeah.
Die hard.
Yeah. Die hard. He's always got the hats on.
Now, is he going to fucking cancel a concert to go to a Vols game and then fuck over the team
all of his fans?
You know what I mean?
I think it's a different guy.
Did you hear about that? The church curse? So I called it the church curse here on the show. Mm. When Eric Church did that, would you guys ever do that? Is there a world in which you guys would cancel a concert for your favorite team?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
The only time we've ever canceled was when we were going through the Ukraine and there was a terrorist alert. So that's the only time we've... Yeah.
Pussies.
Yeah. You two put on a concert.
Yeah. Fucking... Who was... I'm 15 for a moment. Who was that band? They did it.
Oh, Super Band.
Five for Fighting.
Five for Fighting.
Five for Fighting played in the subway, dude, while bombs were going off.
What a difference it made, too. it was really brave. It was really brave. That's impressive.
The people of Ukraine are still talking about it.
No, they're not. They don't know who the fucking band is in the first place.
Hey, Dan, everybody knows, all right? If Mark Cohn showed up and played Walking in Memphis, the whole goddamn country would be pushed into Russia
now. Roger Waters saving us.
Yeah, goddamn right. So you guys are on a tour all around the nation. Last time you were here, we were in the height of COVID. Mm-hmm. Now it's you guys, Bush, and Alice in Chains. That's some heavy hitters, dude, on that lineup.
It's been a blast. You know, Alice in Chains, for us, those were like heroes when we were kids, you know, going up in the 90s and 80s and stuff.
Jerry's one of the best, like, compositional music dudes in the last 30 years.
It's unbelievable.
He's so good.
And it's one of those, like, don't meet your heroes, because sometimes it doesn't pan out. And they are the antithesis of that.
Oh, yeah.
They're so fucking
cool. They're so cool. Yeah. I mean, coolest of the cool. And every day there's some kind of mind-blowing moment where, you know, you're just kind of hanging out, standing there, and Jerry walked by, just kind of tap you on the shoulder and just be like, I was just like, oh, man, okay.
Really?
All right, Mr. Cantrell, sir, yes.
Yeah. Like a rooster walks by, does he say it?
Yeah.
Hey, here comes the rooster.
Yeah, he's actually, after our, we play Dallas next, and then we have a couple days off, he's going to his dad's ranch, who is the rooster.
No so shit.
Yeah. I think it's out in Oklahoma.
Didn't they do like a short kind of documentary on that, the etymology of that song and shit before? Yep. Yeah, it's pretty dope. You could probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody in the world knows that song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those all-time bangers where you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then Bush, that brings the ladies out. Now, your girlfriend is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We've already talked. She will be hogtied backstage.
I was
going to
say, you don't want her around.
I don't know if
Gavin,
I would leave her
right?
hogtied while you're up on stage.
No, not while I play it, while he's playing.
Yeah, you may want to wear her in like a baby Bjorn or something.
Oh. Yeah, put her up front, have some eyes on her everywhere. Because Gavin Rossdale in real life, is he as good looking as he appears?
And he's 57. And it's just,
is he really?
Yeah, and I don't understand it.
I would say there's probably an 80% chance that I try to bang him tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a beautiful, beautiful
man. Well, then he starts talking too. He kind of has that charm.
Right.
He's
super nice.
Yeah. Super nice.
Yeah.
He's a shoe guy too, and he was talking about shoes with me, whatever. And he's like, "I think I bought a pair of those. I'm gonna have to check my carriage." And I'm like, "You just called your bus a carriage."
Yeah, sure did.
It makes sense.
Sure,
it's
did.
All coming
does
together.
It, he's lived here for 30 years.
Yeah,
nah.
he's been in LA
like
for 20
does it
plus.
Take?
It probably takes 40,
still
50
working
years.
For him.
I always wanted him to do more acting. Remember, he played like
he
a demon
a minute, right?
in Constantine?
Yeah.
He was so good at it. I'm like, damn, this dude is actually going to start acting. Now he doesn't care.
Well, the one time I saw him in real life, and I didn't get a chance to meet him, it was at an award show, and him and Gwen Stefani walked in at a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them, first of all, look like they're drinking toddler blood because they both
There's
look
no
like they're 27 years old.
Yeah.
And they're
I think
both,
it's on the rider.
They were both equally the best looking people on the planet. And everybody just stopped and stared and didn't say anything as if we were seeing ghosts walking toward us. Does he still look the same and everything now when you see him?
I think it's a persona thing too, right? He goes out into the crowd. I don't want to give anything away, but he goes out during the set. And he's got a bunch of security. Our guy goes with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable just watching eggs drop in real time.
Oh, yeah. He barely makes it back sometimes. Like, there's been just, you know, physical grabbing.
Yeah,
ripping
his shirt.
We were talking about this yesterday. So a female entertainer goes out into the crowd.
Yep.
And dudes start getting handy, other dudes are going to punch those dudes in the face.
Correct.
Like, it's just a male instinct. But I don't think that women have that same instinct. They're just like, women get super grabby. Like, Gavin comes out of the fucking crowd with, like, claw marks and shit.
Probably. I'm going to be honest, though. If Gavin walked out into the crowd and I was there, I'd probably stick a hand out.
Yeah.
I just want to graze it.
I'd
I just
want
to give him a cock graze.
Yeah.
Just a nice cock graze
or
to see what he's packing.
Make eye contact with the cock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, like, for a prolonged, like, 3 to 5 seconds.
Of eye. Three to five, yeah.
Turn to stone like Medusa.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, my cock would definitely turn to stone. Yeah.
And then here comes the rooster again.
Yeah.
We're
it
just
is.
Like, all right, great, let's unleash it, Gavin. What do you think he's rocking? Down there, 6 to 8, soft,
flaccid.
Yeah, flaccid. I'm saying 6 to 8. Soft,
I don't think it matters. By the time you get down there, you're so mesmerized that it doesn't even matter.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like what's his nuts?
One cock to rule them
David,
all.
David Beckham is a beautiful man as well. Then he starts talking, and it's like you sound like a child.
High pitched voice.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Nope.
But Gavin's not like that.
No, he's not.
He's it's silky smooth from start to finish with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Honest question: when you guys are on tour with these guys, do you pop out to see like glycerine or something like that? Like, do you walk out on the stage and be like, I just want to see this
well,
in real life?
Well, he's been covering some songs Gavin has lately, right? What song? I can't remember. It was early in the tour.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he's doing on this one since they're not headlining. They don't have the set time that they usually do. So they've been kind of plowing through their bangers, but...
of which there are quite a few,
A few.
Oh, yeah. There is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long is this set that they're typically playing?
Are they doing an hour?
I'm not sure, maybe
an hour.
Yeah.
And then we'll do hour 15. Alice does hour 15.
Okay. Because we got a bunch of listeners here that are in from out of town. You got them tickets.
Yep.
Are they good seats? Yes or no?
They are.
Yep.
There are seats.
Don't fuck them.
Nope.
Don't fuck them. Where do you guys sit at? Where's your family and friends sit at?
Well, it depends on
The venue?
Yeah, so these are amphitheaters. Like, we call them sheds.
Sure.
So it'll be in the seated section, kind of in front of house, right behind the pit. So that's...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You'll those see, are great
you'll
seats.
Hear. Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't have to
hell
put
yeah.
up with bullshit. It's perfect.
That'll be awesome.
Yep.
And have you guys played the Germania Insurance Amphitheater before?
We have. I think it was called something else prior, but...
It's just CODA. It's Circuit of the Americas. It's the racetrack. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
They've taken it very seriously now. That's Germania Insurance Amphitheater, and their insurance is amazing.
Well, you got to pay... Somebody's going to pay them a couple hundred grand for the naming rights for the year, so...
Yeah, yeah.
It's free money.
Yeah.
It's fun. They got that big tower backstage.
Oh, yeah.
They've actually got their assembly up front is super good.
It is, like, yeah.
Have you guys been able to see it yet since they updated everything?
No.
Like, it's super nice.
It's fun.
We saw Jared and I and Brittany and Corey went to see Backstreet Boys there not too long ago, and it's like...
That's a true story, by the way.
Multiple layers of... Like, they're set up. Big time.
Perfect.
And for me, I saw Chris Stapleton there, and it was amazing.
I don't know who that is.
Chris Stapleton, the country singer?
No.
You're kidding, right? Come on, dude. Chris Stapleton?
I'm kidding.
I was going to say, fuck you, dude. But he was incredible there. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys with a natural God-given voice where you're just like, all right, great. You don't literally need to do anything but sit on a fucking stool and just sing. You're that good.
Yeah. The guy you'd listen to even if you didn't know his language.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It would be funny to hear him sing in Polish. Or some other guttural, like, Eastern European language.
Or if he just covered Papa Americano and he did that for like an hour and
just show tunes.
He needs to write lyrics to that Timmy Trumpet song.
Oh, big fan of the Timmy Trumpet song. Do you guys know that one?
Can you play that on the guitar? Yeah, you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's
the crowd will go ape dick if you play the Timmy Trumpet song.
If you go, are you guys going to New York at all?
Yeah.
If you go to New York and play this song, I'm telling you, the fucking place will come down.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. What is
really?
It?
It's what's a the fucking, it's some it's goddamn
Blaster
song.
Blaster Jacks. What's the name of the actual song? What is it?
Narco.
That's it.
Yeah.
Narco.
Yeah.
And it's a trumpet song, but you could replicate it on.
Sure. Oh yeah, you could easily play this. But it got popular because the New York Mets closer, Edwin Diaz, that's his walkout song when he comes at the close of the game. And 2 weeks ago, they brought the actual dude to come out and play the trumpet.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you should probably save that for next year after you win and not being the Mets and lose a lot.
Sure.
And, you know what I mean? But
if you guys did that in New York, they would go bug fuck.
They'll fucking lose
I
it.
I highly recommend
they
it.
They will fucking lose it.
Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. That's good to know.
What's it like being back out on tour? Again, last time we chatted, it was COVID, and you were like, dude, I don't know when I'm going anywhere, man.
Jobless.
How long Hopeless. You guys been out?
About a month and a couple weeks, I guess.
Yeah, we got a little bit over a month left.
Was it hard getting back and started up again, or did you just kind of pick it up? Like, what's the rehearsal process when you're off for fucking 2 years?
I mean, hopefully at this point in our careers, know your shit.
Yeah.
Show up and be prepared, you know? So we kind of take it that way, but we've done... Anything from for this tour, we actually had a week of rehearsal. That's the longest we've ever done.
Yeah, that felt odd too.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's like, what do we do? Yeah,
usually it's like we're there a day before it starts. We'll go through everything once, and that's it. But this time it was a lot. I was like, what are we doing now?
Yeah, and it was for product. You know, it's for lighting cues, pyro cues, things like that.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's mostly not even for you guys.
No.
It's for the fucking
totally.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. Do you guys have like if you're gonna play some songs they might not play every time, like just some production on the side ready
exactly.
for the LDs or visual guys to kind of just
like you said for the LD, our lighting director, it's a big thing as far as the design cues. If we swap, there's a couple times we'll swap sides of the stage, hot swap, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So
even for acting, you have the same thing. It's called blocking, where you got to kind of know what your X's are, so you can hit everything. So it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've been curious about, especially during COVID, was why no bands put out great albums. Did you guys record an album over COVID?
No. So we've been writing. And
intentionally?
I think...
Was it intentional or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Part of the issue in our world, in the rock world, it's not necessarily the same thing for, I mean, as you're seeing now, we're just talking about Morgan Wallen. He can be an exception. but those radio formats, pop, country, hip hop, they have such broader reaches than terrestrial radio, which is just, you know, dial up, Sirius, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not streaming services. They have such broader reaches than the rock world does. So for the rock world, we're a radio rock band. We kind of live and die by... historically what gets played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is
touring.
Is touring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for us to put something out, we're creating a product that we can't really get behind in the classic format of how you're going to make that thing visible.
There were a couple of bands that were...
Shinedown did too, I think, right?
Lamb of God did one where they, like, the production was, each guy was recording their set at their own home or whatever the fuck,
and they had that.
But the production that goes into that and then editing everything and syncing up, I mean, that must have taken, because they did, like, what, 11 songs like that? Mm-hmm. And I think...
To mix it up and time it and post,
it's a bitch. Without actually being there and being the fucking paper cut guy and doing all that shit, man, that they really put some effort into that.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. And hats off to them.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's tough, man. I mean, to be honest, they probably didn't make any money off of that.
Yeah.
They may have made some streaming dollars off of it, but for like a hard metal band like that, mm-hmm. the streaming thing is just like...
Well, let's get into the streaming numbers. Yeah. Since you brought it up, what are they? What are the streaming numbers like? Because we had Danny Warsnop from Asking Alexandria on, and he went into it heavily of what the streaming numbers
he
were.
He also said he would fight you guys if he had to. I don't know. I don't want to start any shit.
You know what?
But
it was a cockfight.
Too soon,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it was... But he went into the streaming numbers and he was like, it's complete bullshit. And I sold my back catalog. Mm-hmm. Is that something you guys are doing? And is the streaming numbers really that bad?
Well, here's the irony. Again, we were just talking about terrestrial radio. So mm-hmm. anything over the airwaves. So let's say we have a song sooner or later that comes out in mid, late 2000, something like that, goes to radio. Goes to number one, you're getting paid every time that thing is being spun on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it goes away. Now you're at a new album cycle. You have a new single coming out. Now you're pushing this one. Well, you might get some reoccurring spins as you go from sooner or later being on the radio, mm-hmm. but that goes away. With streaming, it does not. And the other side of it is with streaming, now what's one of the biggest songs that we have in our catalog? The ones that are some of the oldest, ironically.
No shit.
So your catalog keeps growing. So for me personally, and I've worked with a lot of other bands, Keith has too. He's a pretty big writer in his own right with the solo stuff also. But you've seen the same thing where our streaming numbers are going up.
Mm-hmm.
That passive income right there continues to grow.
Is it with a deep catalog that it's going up? Do you think that
helps? That's a big part of it.
That definitely helps, yeah.
Because those seeds have been planted. They go on playlists. That's a big thing. You know, all these aggregates and curators that are doing those things.
One of the things we notice on the audio publication of podcasts is that if somebody comes to your channel and listens to one show, they typically listen to 17 additional shows after that.
Yes,
right?
They'll download 17 additional podcasts if they listen to one.
So do you have like a metric like that? Is there a certain, because you're talking about having a big catalog. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a couple of songs, you know, like Diary of Jane, they're going to pull everybody, mm-hmm. they hear it and like, oh shit, I've heard that song. I'm going to mm-hmm. go listen to that. And then they see the fucking full playlist and start playing it, right?
But yes, but at the same time, they're not going to have access to that necessarily on radio.
Right.
Right.
Which is, for a lot of rural America, still a real big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, country, hip hop, pop, those formats are kind of separate from that because it's so broad. Anybody has access to that. Now you got TikTok and those kinds of things, but... as far as monetizing it, yeah, I mean, the metric that they, or the unit they pay you with is a pretty small one, but it's also, it's like compound interest, you know, as those things continue to grow, the other formats, including record sales, are going to slowly go down. Whereas streaming numbers, if you have the right play, you got the right timing, it can continue to go up.
So one of my best friends in LA owns one of the biggest music video production houses. And I was asking him the same thing about why there was no great albums during COVID and what's coming out now, because there hasn't been really a hit album out of a lot of people mm-hmm. outside of Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Even Post Malone's album didn't do that well.
No.
And he was up there. Half of it was artistic and whatever. And what he said to me, what I found super fascinating, and I don't know if you're getting this from your label, is, hey, every label is telling their artists, give me something for TikTok. Specifically mm-hmm. for TikTok, and that mm-hmm. will launch the album, and then everybody else will kind of find your shit from there. Are you guys getting the same pressure of like, can you make something hooky for TikTok?
Are we getting the same pressure? Those conversations have happened. Are we doing it? No.
You're not going to write a song for fucking Fortnite?
No, no. It's funny you mention that. That happened. I do have a song on Fortnite. It was with Korn, but...
Shut the fuck
what
up.
Song? Yeah.
What song?
I think it's called Love and Meth.
Love and Meth?
No, for real. Yeah. I think that's the one.
Makes sense.
You're looking at him. Did he do it with you?
No, but he's aware of the song.
Wait, is this from Love and Death with Head, or is it?
So like that's the joke. Is it was initially a Love and Death song, and then Korn cut it. But the demo, we always our demos, we'd be canceled just for those. The names, you know what I mean? Yeah. The working titles, it's crazy. So, but one of them was Love and Meth, and Jonathan Davis, Korn singer, liked it.
He's a little fucked in the head.
I like him though. He hit us up for a song for Range 15.
And
he was great. He was doing a lot of covers. God, what did he give us? I think it was the 50 Cent song, It's Your Birthday. And I was like, I can't clear that publishing-wise. I was like, you don't own
Well, you'd have to talk for 50 Cent. I don't know if you've had to do any shit with him, but you'd have to talk to like 25 different people to get that.
I have not, thankfully.
It would be like a couple thousand bucks for each fucking touch point, too. There's no point trying to do that shit.
No, not at all.
No, and they look at sync, you know, the people in licensing and sync look at that.
Oh yeah.
And these hip-hop songs that have 12 writers.
It's good luck. Right. Yeah,
because somebody came up with a snare sound.
There aren't a whole lot of hip hop songs that don't have at least 3 to 4 writers on it now.
Oh yeah, easily. There was one on Beyonce that they bitched about on her new album, which also bombed, by the way.
Yeah,
that had 21 writers, and I think it was Diane Warren, who's like one of the greatest songwriters of all time. She put a tweet out and she bitched about it. I know you write a lot. What do you think when you see a song with 21 writers?
That's a lot. Like Jason said, it's like somebody's getting credit for just a sound or a tone or something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
because like you're,
in those worlds, it is. Yeah,
there's like Audio Soccer, right? You can go buy music that just people.
We do that all the time, basically.
But they're like for especially for the hip hop community, there are really good producers and audio engineers that synth sounds and shit like that and beats and all this stuff. And most of the major hip hop guys just go buy them. They don't write any of the music anymore. They just go buy
sampling.
It's like completely manufactured up until the point where you write the lyrics. So there's just so many fucking touch points in the way the audio or the music industry works. God damn, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. For me personally, like in hip hop, since we're on it, it's gotten worse and worse in my opinion. Why can't anybody come up with a great album anymore? Or do they just not want to?
I mean, how many writing credits were on Biggie Smalls songs?
Not 21.
Right?
Maybe two if somebody else did the beat.
But I'm sure there was.
There's probably a producer that did the beat, but like
Puffy. That was it.
Yeah, mostly.
And they were sampling shit.
And that's what fucking for all the like Kanye was on before Kanye was a rapper. He was doing beats.
That was producing.
That's what really made him fucking a guy.
What still kind of makes him a guy to this day, where he can always produce his own beats.
But he does both.
Exactly.
Like he might be the best rapper of all time, right? Because who else does the beat and writes lyrics to that quality? He had 5 wall-to-wall banger albums.
Oh yeah,
and he did all the beats and he did all the writing for it.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else who's done that. With you guys, who does all the writing for you?
We share the load. And everybody kind of has, I think, something that we're good at.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ben. I mean, Ben brings a ton to the table, always has, you know, with the previous
melody,
catalog. Yeah. I mean,
does he write,
he's
like,
great.
Does he fuck around with the guitar and he, like just play a couple of notes and sing something with it and you guys are like, all right, I can expand on that?
Yes.
Or how does that
so
work?
That's happened. Okay. We've had times where we've sent music.
We have
a song pretty much sans melody and lyrics and he'll hear something like, okay, hold on. And then he sends something back. He needs to change a chord to fit a melody or something like that.
Have been working together for long enough now that you kind of know what he likes and vice versa.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I wrote with Ben was like 2008. And I remember it was a song called I Will Not Bow. And it was an acoustic demo. There was no riff, no anything. It was just he would strum a chord. He's like, well, I know this is the key. And then had melody right over it, and everything else came afterwards. So it really depends on the approach, what inspires what, you know. It's a pretty...
Have you guys done... So a couple of bands, Lamb of God did it to a lesser degree. Not a lot of people watched it because, they're, in my opinion, hard metal-wise, the best ever. But not a lot of people... I don't know if a lot of people really follow that. But Metallica did one, too, where they went through the whole writing process and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they definitely had some scripted reality TV bullshit
in
there.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. It was after What's His Nuts.
Some
over.
Kind of monster.
After Newstead left and Homeboy came over to replace him. But it was good. You guys thought about doing something like that because that would be really interesting.
Ours might not look.
We haven't.
Yeah. And the reason why I think is because our process is so different. Like when COVID hit and people started working more remotely, we're like, this is what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
But we all live in different states. We're not the band that gets together and like jams for 5 hours.
Families don't play together. You're not Foo Fighters.
We're all over the place. Yeah.
A lot of those songs that came out from Matt and Jared and 17 and 18.
Yeah.
A lot of them were either written or recorded offsite by this piece of shit. Right?
Yeah.
I'm definitely a piece of shit.
Yeah, you are a piece of shit.
But like that's something you guys have been doing for a while. Now the industry is kind of like angling that way. Mm-hmm. Not even just by necessity.
Even just with technology, you know, everybody's got a laptop. Everybody's got their studio, mm-hmm. you know, Pro Tools and things, you know, so.
So you've been playing guitar for a very long time. How long have you been actually editing, like manipulating sound and shit? Is that something that came later or you've been doing that the whole time?
I mean, I pretty much started, 2012. Mm. I had Logic on my laptop and then I switched over to Pro Tools. Mm. But I wish I'd done it longer. Yeah, there's always something new to learn with it. And, you know,
it's like Photoshop or any video editing kind of
for
thing.
Sure.
It's constantly changing. I've been in Pro Tools for about 21 years, something like that.
And I've seen you manipulate it. You were when that video I showed you earlier that night, you were fucking around with stuff. And then when Warstop did the jingle for Hard as Fuck.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I watched him record and edit everything in like 15 minutes. I'm like, that's pretty impressive, dude.
You really know what you're doing.
He's okay. Yeah. And I would love Danny. Yeah. Totally
but I mean, for guys that have been, for you guys that have been doing it that long, this is like, you can do that shit with your eyes closed at this point.
I mean, it's a language we learn to speak for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm definitely a little bit newer at it. I mean, if I have any question, I'm like, yo, Jason, how do I, you know, so I got the go-to guy right here.
Pro Tools actually stays pretty consistent. Photoshop, for some reason, changes all their hotkeys and shit every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
it's such a pain in the goddamn ass. What were you going to say, Giorgio?
So you guys kind of like saw the transition from like very analog pedal boards over into this whole like digital amp rack. Like, did you guys adopt some of that technology early? Like Apollo from Universal Audio does it, where you can kind of build all these classic amps and they say they emulate the same circuitry. Do you like it? Does it feel the same to you? Can you write with those kind of sounds and be able
write
to
with it? Definitely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, even before I was, you know, in this band, I was all, you know, amps, you know, tubes. And then, we went to the digital thing.
I can never think of yourself. Like, do you see like an easy transition between the two? Does it sound the same to you?
Definitely. I think so. I think you can really put the time in and really kind of match the tones and match the sounds pretty darn close. You know, some people prefer that analog tube sound, you know, but, I mean,
that text from like the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, honestly. Really.
It didn't really change significantly until the early 2000s people started, you know, doing some of this stuff.
Has it slimmed down a lot of what you guys have to bring on the road?
That's the 100%. Main part of it, especially doing things overseas. Mm-hmm. You know, we went from, racks and racks and racks of shit and cabinets everywhere to having a single rack.
I mean, you guys already travel with, four personnel buses and then 5 equipment trucks.
Well, one of them is full of midgets, and that's just for fun.
Yeah, that's
you guys,
for fun, though.
That's 48 midgets in one bus.
And you know,
dude, you just gave away our whole show.
Well, it's not.
Spoiler alert.
The really interesting part is that it's not a tax write-off. They do it just for the love of the
humanity.
Game.
Come out tomorrow night and see them and 48 midgets on stage with bowler hats, and then that's when shit really gets fun.
Viking helmets, please.
Oh, is it really? Yes. You guys are going full J6.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Everybody brings a laptop. You get in free.
They're storming the drum set.
They all show up with their own little mini podium.
The Druids. Yeah. Stonehenge.
But with technology and everything else created, you guys are able to travel lighter. Does that bring the production down as far as budget-wise goes, and then you get to split more in the back end?
Yeah. I mean, it can.
I feel like you lunatics, though, instead of, it's like buying a bigger house. You're like, now I got some room. And you just buy more shit to fill the house up. That's really
There's no question. That's a real thing.
You just keep adding more
then
shit.
Then you start to not like big houses.
Yeah. It never ends.
Yeah.
Then you go through a divorce when you're 45.
Yeah, and that happens. Moving. How many pairs of shoes you got?
Now?
Yeah.
You had a lot more 3 months ago.
Oh. Yeah, sure as hell did.
Whoa, what happened? She took the shoes?
No, not she. His house got broken into.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My girlfriend and I are in the middle of a move, and bullet points basically just being that we split the move in 2 phases. Movers came a day, took all furniture and shit, everything else boxed up. I was going to bring my kids. They need to make some money. You want to help us move some boxes? We got a rider. We're going to take it out. And I go back to the house, and the whole house is ransacked, and there's a couple of squatters there telling me it's their house.
No fucking way.
Within 4 days.
Yeah. What do you do at that point?
Well, it's funny you ask. We were getting ready to go on tour, so my mind was on a little bit of a, you know, self-preservation kind of thing. Yeah. And they stole all my guns. And I had a decent amount, and they were fun ones.
Yeah.
And I knew once I walked in the house that they were gone because I keep them kind of there. And so I didn't know how many people were in the house, and I didn't know where they were. So I didn't do a lot other than yell and get in his face. He kind of started poking me. He was like 145 pounds, soaking wet, wearing my clothes.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, they stole everything.
I mean, Dan's rage right now is at a high.
No, he told me that like the next day.
Mm-hmm. No shit. Yeah. So what do you do? What does one do in that situation?
Well, in this situation, you sit and wait for somebody to do something. So that the problem is with this kind of thing, there's just not enough officers out there. Well, that I think this defund the police thing is adorable, but it also trickles up. And that's not a political statement, by the way. I'm literally just saying there's four detectives for the precinct that we live in. There's 30-something thousand people in that precinct. Yeah. So I'm 60th in line to get assigned a case.
Yeah, and property crime is not at the top. It's violent crime is at the top.
Yeah. Right. But knowing that, mm-hmm. do you go in, throw some fucking smoke grenades, and then try to take everybody out?
Roll, yeah.
I'm being totally serious.
So
what do you do?
I got in there, they knew that they were fucked. I was on the phone. I got on... Obviously, the phone with 911 just because I needed it recorded.
Right.
What was going to happen.
Because you had cameras in the house, but they stole those.
They stole the cameras. So
shut the fuck up. On purpose?
Oh, yeah. Whoa. I mean, they completely destroyed the place. yeah, it was unhappy.
How many people?
There were two there at the time. One ended up being somebody that was shooting up. I mean, they left everything. They slept in like my kid's bedding, used condoms, crack pipes, the whole nine years. Four days.
Did you keep the condoms?
God damn.
Well, yes. I'm wearing one right now.
Okay.
He wears it around his ankle.
You have to.
As a reminder.
Yeah. Never forget.
Right? Never forget.
Obviously. Obviously.
Just the season.
That's super fucked up. And then what, do you got to pay somebody to come in and do it up? Did you sell the house?
So we moved, actually, and my poor girlfriend had to go back and get everything out. But we couldn't go back in without a police escort. They stole our keys and shit, so... that was a whole thing. It took days. And,
yeah.
Was this in Tennessee?
Yeah, Nashville.
Shit.
So we were in downtown for about 5 years, and we just moved out to the burbs, you know, so.
And it's still going.
It's still going.
Yeah. Oh, it's not going to end anytime soon.
What do you mean it's still going?
I mean, between insurance, I mean, somewhere between about $45,000, $50,000 worth of shit that they took. And the irony is they're looking for quick fixes, right? So, I mean, I had a $20,000 guitar in there that they left. You know, but they took the guns. They took the, you know, flipped up my filing cabinet with all my shit and stole some cash or whatever, like emergency cash.
God
took
damn.
Shoes. You know, they like Jordans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, homeless people love Jordans.
Yeah. So. I like their Yeezys.
That's why dads love
just
Yeezys.
Drive around there once in a while and just look. I'm like, those are mine, bitch.
That's why anytime I roll bums, I always take their shoes.
You have to.
For that reason.
Yeah, that's they got dominant. Great shoes. Yeah. Terrible jackets, but great shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks to hear. I'm sorry, man.
No, you know, it's all right. Stuff is stuff.
It is, yeah.
But our buddy out there was able to at least.
Yes.
Like,
huge remember, thanks to Rob.
You know Rob, right? The
yep.
guy that's always out
sure
there.
Sure do.
Yeah,
sure
he's,
do.
He was able to help a little bit, but still, like he said, there's mm-hmm. four dudes that do all the detectiving mm-hmm. for that precinct, and it's like it's not enough.
But no, if you were to kill them inside the house, is it murder at that point?
So
we got to go Jack Palance style.
This
throw
is interesting.
Throw a gun at their feet and be like, pick it up.
Yeah.
You saw him. He had a gun.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. We do have Castle Doctrine. However, yep. the city of Nashville has changed quite a bit, including their squatting laws. And they had told us that I was fine because when I walked in, there was ammunition from my ammo buckets and shit all over. And I knew guns were gone.
Yep.
However, you do need to, inside your own home in Nashville now, you do need to have proof that it is a self-defense situation. You know, that you need a force multiplier that, you know, lethal force. You can't see what they're doing. You feel they're coming at you. You can't just, oh, you're in my house. You're dead.
I really feel like we need to expand the summary judgment and death penalty in this country. Right? Judge, full on Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
that'd be blast.
Littering. Because, you know, I don't want to see that Indian with the single tear running.
Me neither. Shoot. And I didn't know if you were going to go George Zimmerman and just kind of just shoot him up and then call the police later.
I might not be here having a conversation with you.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, because you always wonder what you would do. Because we all, you know, all of us have guns and everything else. And you're like,
yeah.
yo, I would love to kick in the door, fucking kill everyone, and then
no
call
question.
The police and say, hey, I did you a favor.
I don't.
Really?
Have guns, no.
No, well, not that. But what would happen if you came home tonight and there was four homeless people in your fucking house?
I would kill all of them.
Right.
Yep. Immediately.
And then you've got to deal with the aftermath of what he's talking about.
Yes.
And that's a fucking nightmare.
It's a nightmare. And then just the opportunity to be made an example of, I guess.
We're in Texas.
Yeah.
And we're I'm in Austin.
I mean, he's outside Austin.
I'm in Driftwood.
Yeah, he's outside Austin. Yeah, he's good.
Where are you? We're fine.
He's good. I just moved across the border. I'm barely in Austin, so yeah, I don't know that I could do that necessarily, but it is something to think about because I've always wondered, and it's never happened to one of our close friends before until now. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fun one. Yeah,
that's gnarly.
Yeah, that someone talk about it Thanksgiving.
Bill Schofield in the chat says they're homeless. Why would you even report it? That's good. Good point. Who's gonna miss them?
Who's gonna miss them?
Like you just shovel them into a fucking dumpster somewhere, and like, hey man, that's
light it on fire.
Did you hear about those four homeless people?
Light it on fire, play some Christmas jingles, and you're good to go.
Well,
ding,
yeah.
Ding 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 ding. You could play a metal version of like and really go nuts with it. You know?
Is that? Can you redo that?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, on
because he's gonna want to grab the tablature for that.
Sorry, let me put the strap on. Let me put the strap on. It's
I don't think anybody.
If you want to play that tomorrow, that's you can take it. I'm not gonna copyright it.
I don't think anybody's ever said, "Let me put the strap on before playing a guitar."
Well,
not that eloquently.
Nah, you have to.
Did you notice how dainty I did?
Very gingerly.
Yeah. What are you You look like Legolas grabbing a fucking arrow out of his quiver.
No, you want. That's what you're doing, dude. You're pulling back the fucking arrow, dude. Letting the audience know you're being inserted into their heart soon. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. That's what I do, at least. Being one of the best metal bands in the world, I'm going to ask you about a Rolling Stone magazine report of the top 15 metal albums of all time. I want your honest opinion here, okay? We'll start with you first. Number 15, Ozzy Osbourne, Diary of a Madman.
That's a good one.
Does it deserve to be top 15? Yes or no? Yes.
No okay. question. Yeah.
You good with that, yeah. Jason?
Okay. Yeah, I love Ozzy.
Back on. What's the name of that song? Fuck. That's a really good album.
Blizzard of Oz was on here. Yeah.
Just waiting for that to happen.
On that? Were you?
Yeah. That should definitely be on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Goddamn sure. Right. Black Sabbath Volume 4 came in at number 14. Still Ozzy. You good with that?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Number 13, Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden.
Hmm.
1980. You good with that?
Yeah, they're going to be here tonight, right?
Yeah.
Iron Maiden is?
Yeah, they're in town. They're at they're at Moody Center tonight.
Mm-hmm. No shit. Yeah. Oh, fuck, man. Moody's a great venue, by the way. Today's show is brought to you by GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Fill up the cart all the way to the top. Get every item you've ever dreamed of. With a mattress set. You can get the sheets, the pillows, the adjustable bases, the mattress, anything you can think of. Pile it up in the cart and you get 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros. 40% off the bundle package, which is the adjustable base and the mattress combined together for one magical evening of lovemaking. It's the best. It's got USB ports on the side of it, flashlights, you name it. It's got you pop it up in a book mode. They've got a super sleek remote that comes with it. Everything you've ever wanted in a brand new bedroom set you can get at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. And when you check out, scroll to the bottom of the screen. They got a 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there as long as you have decent credits. Go to GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros today where all the deals I just mentioned are applicable with that 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. Next up, we got MyBookie.com. Let's go, fam. NFL has started. College football has started. We're headed into week 3, heading into week 2 of the NFL. Time to get off the couch and get into the game. Let's go, dude. I'm all in this week. I'm all in on Oklahoma this week against Nebraska. I don't care. Did I miss the Denver game? I sure did. Not my problem. That was Russ. Russ was supposed to cook, and he didn't. But bet with us or against us, that's up to you. Because a lot of times on the show, I'll bet against your favorite team. You can bet against me and then tell myself to go and fuck myself online. Who cares? Go to mybookie.com and turn your love of sports into your new side hustle. Bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere at mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you put $1,000 in, you're going to wake up in your account with $2,000 back. Put $100 in, 200 back. You know the drill. Go to mybookie.com, use the promo code DRINKINBROS. That'll double your deposits up to $1,000. With the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout. Last but not least, buy Raycon.com. You're going to use the promo code DRINKIN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That is DRINKIN15 at buyraycon.com for the best headphones in the business. Been listening to a lot of new podcasts these days, and I got the big dogs, but everybody's wearing the workout ones as well. If you're looking for an affordable headphone under $100, Raycon is the best to do it. And I'm going to be honest, they're better than Beats by Dr. Dre. They're better than Bose. We've had them for years and years on this show. If you like the look of an AirPod, but you don't like the dangliness of it, because those are unattractive. These everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever with optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. These earbuds are so comfortable that they will not budge. Trust me, Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. Raycons are priced just right. You'll get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. You can get them with the customizable sound profiles, which is nice. It means you just tap it. Boom, you can block out some noise. Or boom, you can hear stuff that you need to. Boom, you can take some calls if you want to. That's called the earbud tap functions. They got the noise isolation and the awareness modes. Best in the business, in my opinion. I've had them for years. I've got both. I work out in them, and I also got the big dogs for the plane because I like to write in those as well. Go to buyraycon.com today. Use promo code DRINKIN15. That is DRINKIN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code DRINKIN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off at buyraycon.com. Code DRINKIN15. You will not regret this purchase. I can promise you that. If you haven't been there, it's brand new. It just opened.
I don't think we have.
It's nice. It's downtown on campus.
No. Is it Moody? The Moody Center or the arena?
I don't fucking care.
There's like
both are great.
There's like
great.
Five Moody's.
Both are great. All right. We don't go by seat numbers. We go by venue, and both Moody's are great. I don't know who the fucking Moody family is. They own every goddamn piece of real estate downtown, though. I can tell you that they've got a bank, a Moody Bank, and I don't even know what that is. Next up, Judas Priest. Screaming for vengeance, yes or no?
I mean, I guess it's iconic. I'm not a big fan, but...
You're not a big fan of
Keith,
Judas Priest?
What do you think?
I'd say sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with it, but we did meet Rob one time. Yeah.
How was he?
He was so nice.
So nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did they offer drugs? I always picture every metal band just offers up coke.
No.
Never.
Not, never.
No.
We showed up to a festival. He was in our dressing room waiting for us. We walked in, and he was just like, "What's going on, mates?" And we were just like, "Whoa, okay." But
he didn't say
no drug. No.
He didn't say, "Hey, you have any cocaine, mates?"
No.
All right. Metallica, Ride the Lightning at number 11. Yes or no?
100%.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Big fan of that. 1984. Number 10, Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power from 1992. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
That and Cowboy Cemetery Gates and Walk. Yep.
Did Pantera just come out with another album recently?
Or no, but like they're doing a reunion thing without, obviously, the brothers, but they got, you know, Zakk Wylde.
He's been on the show before.
Yeah.
He's great. Ozzy Osbourne, Blizzard of Oz is at number 9 there, which I mentioned on accident. Number 8 is Megadeth. Peace sells, but who's buying?
That's a good one.
It's a good title.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's a strong title.
Yeah. That's a good one.
What do you think? Megadeth? Is that one of your top bands? Yes or no?
I think
so.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some.
They're part of the big four, right?
Yeah. Okay. Next up at number 7, Motorhead, No Remorse.
Ooh.
Hot I mean, goss. Lemmy.
I'm not a huge Motorhead fan. I get it.
Same. Hot
But yeah, also understand it. I mean, it's a thing. The mm-hmm. Ace of Spades. I get it. Yeah.
Lemmy? What about Lemmy?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't live like
that. Have you met him?
No. I don't know how
That it's that all
everyone has, but
everyone has.
I haven't either.
Well, here's why. So in Los Angeles, he lived in Los Angeles, and everybody's got a fucking Lemmy story. And it was one of those things where if you met him, you just went to his house, and he didn't give a shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was like a dingy apartment, and he was drinking like brown liquor out of plastic cups, and it was not a sweet sweet environment, you know.
No, Vinnie Paul from Pantera was similar. He would show up to shows, and he's got a house in Dallas, obviously where they're from. And it was always a thing when he came too. Like back in the day, we'd play House of Blues and we'd have a box kind of, oh, Vinny's coming. Like, oh. Buckle up.
You knew what kind of night you were getting into.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, out of my league, I can't hang with that. But
yeah, for sure.
Good guy, though.
Yeah, well, they're all good guys, you know, until they're not. next up is at 6, Slayer, Rain and Blood.
Yeah.
Big Slayer fan? You guys ever met with them or play with them?
Yeah, I've met those guys. Yeah.
How are they?
Great.
Who is a cocksucker?
Oof.
Come on. Who do you hate?
Who do I hate?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't hate
anybody. Alive or dead? Who did you not enjoy touring with or working with?
Oh, man. He knows the answer, but we're not going to talk about that.
What does it rhyme with?
Shat rest. No. I was just talking to him yesterday. That's just came to mind.
Lincoln's box seats was a real problem to work with.
Life's short. It's all love.
Yeah. It's all love, man.
Yeah.
That's a lie. You're a fucking liar.
I'm looking at the same list you're looking at, and I don't see, I've looked through the top 30 so far, and I don't see Lamb of God anywhere on here.
No.
To be honest, that to me, as far as metal goes, is the most prolific metal band of all time.
So right behind you, is it still behind you? Or did you get the frames? Yeah.
No, so here's the thing about Lamb of God is they have obviously successful. But they're kind of become a band's band, right?
They're,
like, so you really have to kind of appreciate it, and they're gods.
Favorite artist?
Yeah, it's like if Dream Theater were commercially successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every single fucking thing they do, every single musician in the band and every single thing they do, every element of every song is fucking immaculate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. They're so good, but they're also, like, commercially good.
Mm-hmm. Like, are they do they hang out a lot? Because I got that for Dan for Christmas. They sent a drum head, right? Mm-hmm. But it was so hard to get because apparently they just don't sign anything and they're never really together anymore.
No. Yeah.
Well, the last couple of years nobody's been together, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, are they coming out of it? Are they going to play anytime soon?
Yeah, they were just on tour. Yeah. I think they did.
Yeah, they were here in September last year.
Oh, no shit.
Was that the Mudvayne run?
Yeah, it was Mudvayne. Oh, no. Hell yeah. And God damn it. Who else was there?
Hanson.
Nope.
Oh, they didn't play with Hanson? Because everybody knows Lamb of God and Hanson. Banger of a fucking lineup.
Oh, yeah, that's a package right there.
Yeah, sure is.
It was them and Trivium and one other band.
That's right.
I don't remember who else. But yeah, they've been on tour.
Daft Punk.
Nope.
I'm kidding. Yeah. We'll skip ahead to 2 here because you're getting the usual suspects throughout it. Metallica, Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
Right? That's got to be on that list.
100%,
right?
Yeah.
And here's what's interesting to me, and I'll ask you guys this question. So you take something like Stranger Things. Stranger Things comes out, they fucking explode, this album re-explodes again. Is that a dream for a band where it's just like, hey,
oh, yeah. Look at the teenage dirtbag thing that's happening, you know?
Yeah.
These like callbacks or something. I mean, we're definitely in the generation now where people are like, who's Paul McCartney? You know, weird stuff like that.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah,
incredible. I always think of the Fleetwood Mac with the guy drinking the juice and on the skateboard.
Oh, the cranberry guy.
Yeah. I mean, Fleetwood Mac had to be like, this is sweet.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I saw the cranberry guy hanging out with Snoop. You know, he still has to wear the same outfit and drink the cranberry juice, or else nobody knows who that guy
is. Right, yeah.
Swear to God, it was super depressing.
It's a character almost. Yeah.
I know.
I can't remember the guy's name, but...
I know, but no, is this something that your managers or agents are actively shopping of like, hey, let's try to get your music into movies or television shows and try to create a moment like this?
Yeah, always, but I think those moments have the most success when it happens naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, organic stuff. So,
yeah, it's kind of hard to script some of that. I don't really understand how that shit takes off, but...
I think it's kind of by accident. Like, I was reading an interview about the Stranger Things in particular, because this was in there, and then so was the Kate Bush song, because Running Up That Hill ended up being number one
Is crazy, yeah.
Weeks and weeks away, and she said it was crazy. She was like, dude, I had no idea. They reached out, Stranger Things reached out, and asked for this one particular song, and apparently she doesn't license a lot of music, and she was a fan of Stranger Things. She said, yeah, fine, that's cool, but she had no idea it was going to be in literally every single episode throughout the season. And now it's a whole different life. And I'm sure streaming and all that shit has been great for Kate Bush.
It plays on the top 40 radio station here constantly.
Oh, on SiriusXM, it's on all the time,
like,
too. Yeah,
it'll play next to like fucking Doja Cat and, you know, whoever else.
Well, it's better. It's better, but it sounds like it was made today to be retro.
Yeah.
Where some bands are doing that right now today, which, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, that Weekend album was like that. I mean, that's kind of a popular thing.
Well, all the music and fucking fashion is... We've always been told it's cyclical, right? But now it's like kids are dressing like it's the 90s. I never thought I would see that.
Same.
Because the 90s fashion was terrible.
Terrible. Awful. Mm-hmm. And my kids dress like
it. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are you wearing all this baggy, stupid bullshit for?
I don't get it.
Mom jeans.
You guys are like fucking 5 to 7 years away from all the early BB hits coming back, right? And being part of that cycle. So, like, you just hang out, I guess, for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's coming.
I mean, don't you think we still see people coming through and they'll bring their kids and stuff now?
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It is pretty wild, to see.
Number one here, Black Sabbath, Paranoid. Do you agree with
definitely.
That?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
That might be the first great metal album, actually.
See, I was going to go Black Album. If I was rating it, but that's
Black Album from Metallica.
Good, yeah,
okay.
That's pretty good.
What was that? 91. Yeah, but Paranoid was 80. 1980. I think.
Exactly.
It was.
I think it was like the first like oh shit, this is metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it's beyond the 70s were like what classic rock. There was a little bit of fucking hair metal that started to pop up late 70s. But Paranoid, I feel like, was the first real metal album that had great commercial success. Yeah.
And they recorded it in just like 10 days. I don't know. That might not be the right
amount. That is probably the 10 wildest days of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It's something crazy.
We were just talking
crazy.
About Alice in Chains. Which album was that they did? Mike, I know their bass player, was talking about one of them. It might have been Facelift or Jar of Flies.
Was it Jar of Flies, maybe?
Like 9 days.
I don't know.
9 days?
I might be talking out of my ass.
Recorded the studio version in 9 days?
That's amazing.
Pretty impressive.
It is. Black Album, by the way, does not come in the top 20 of Rolling Stone at all.
Shit.
Well, Rolling Stone doesn't know what the fuck
it's only
about.
Sold.
Yeah.
It's a diamond record. Yeah.
Tool,
diamond certified.
Tool is in the top 20.
Which one? Lateralis?
You guys Tool fan?
Probably.
That's a great album.
Yeah, you like that one.
Anemo, yeah. That's a good album.
Mm-hmm.
Tool's in there, but Black Album is not in there.
Which is wild.
It is wild.
Rolling Stone has a vendetta.
They would say that's probably too poppy of a metal album.
That's probably Times bestseller list.
I always go back to Jason.
Probably. Yeah.
Jason Newsted is like, we sold out every single fucking arena we went to, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're suing like cover bands and shit now where it's like, hey, dude, you have enough money at this point. Like Metallica's got all the money, right?
Yeah. All the money. And you know what? They have great business. I mean, they really do. I know that they get aggressive on certain things. I think that comes from one part of the band, if I had to guess. But
it's which part of the band do you think
Lars.
It is?
Lars. Lars Ulrich. I'll say it. I don't give a shit. I don't know him.
But it really is. They have great business, man. They really do. From the deals that they do with the... the promotion.
The merch. Merch is always out there. How heavily involved are you guys in merch, and how much of your profits does that make up for a year?
We own our own company. The guy who runs it, our CEO, is sitting over there too.
Oh, no shit. Yeah.
He's computing right now.
Yeah, it was his birthday yesterday. Yeah.
Was it really? Yeah. Did I walk in? I'll tell you what. Because I don't know that guy. Mm-hmm. I walked in. He's been on his computer all fucking day long.
It's Terry.
Barely looked up to shake my hand. That's exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's running your fucking company, hey, bro, I'm not interested in
dude.
Or drinking, dude. I just want to sell shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very hard to impress.
We're like 45 minutes into the show. JJ High and Angry sent us some scotch.
That's right.
He's going to be at that thing in Tennessee in 2 weeks.
Okay, great.
So he's supposedly bringing us some more booze. But I want to try this before we fucking get out of here.
Yeah, pop it off, dude. We're not getting out of here anytime soon.
No,
but
we got all day.
Yeah, we got all day here. We're good to go. When's the next album coming out?
So we're working on it. We have tentative plans as far as release. A lot of that specifically has to do with traffic and marketing and advertising and touring.
Like trafficking?
Like sex trafficking, specifically.
Of course. Use your own puppet of yourself, like Prince Andrew.
Mm, that's good.
That helps.
Big Boris hands.
Yeah.
Have you seen that close-up of Charles' hands?
No.
Hey, Bob,
does he have big hands?
It's they're not big. It's like there's something, wrong with him.
He's like Hellboy.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Prince Andrew?
Like, look at his hands. Oh, my God. It's so fucking gross.
Whoa,
this is worse
dude.
Than Lemon Party.
That's somebody who's going to die of a heart attack, usually. That's real? Bob, that's real? You can confirm that? Jesus Christ, dude. That pinky ring is fighting for its life. Man, dude. That is really fighting for his life. How is he not dead?
Look at his fucking hands.
But they're perfect for a puppet.
And he's 73.
It all makes sense now.
Like, if you were 45 and had those hands, it's like, all right, you got time to turn this around. He's 73 years old.
Oh, he's going
to
die in an hour. Shit, dude.
Do you
That's
think
he's fucked
still,
up.
You still popping it? Like, what do you do?
With the little
jack hand?
Oh, boy. You think he's got those puppets stashed away somewhere? Talk about Master of Puppets. It's that guy, not Metallica.
It's called a callback. You're
that's
welcome.
That's his brother.
Best in the biz right there. Is it really?
Do you guys want some scotch?
Yeah, I'll try.
I don't know
why.
I asked Giorgio for cups, and he brought the four biggest cups in the goddamn.
We're out of solo cups. Everybody's been partying here. We got 30 people in here.
They filled our entire refrigerator with booze, and they didn't buy any solo cups.
That's fine. We appreciate everybody being here. It's our fault, all right? We're going through recession, okay? We're missing some people here.
Some people.
Was this scotch?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to say you people, Jason?
Brigham Benjamin technically is originally from Pennsylvania. I think you got to say Yens.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys
Wait,
really?
Is Yenders. It east or west side of Pennsylvania?
It's east. So
are
it's
you from Delco?
East side Scranton. Is, yeah.
No, they're from Wilkes-Barre, right?
Yeah, Wilkes-Barre. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Scranton.
That's still
beautiful this time of year.
They're not very Yens out on the east side of Pennsylvania.
That's, you got to go west.
Who's got the best sandwich then? Is it Wawa's or Publix?
Max's.
If you're going subs, Publix or because you guys have traveled everywhere.
It would be Sheetz versus Wawa.
Oh, okay. Sheetz versus Wawa. We'll go Sheetz. Publix is us. We're down. We're
I'm going Wawa.
I gotta go Wawa. Yeah.
All right. Wawa hoagies, Sheetz pretzel bun.
Okay.
I'm good. Thank you. What's break the tie here? What do you got, Delco?
Obviously, Wawa.
All right,
Delco is
a trick
Wawa.
Yes, a trick. He was baiting us.
I'm in on Wawa, by the way.
Sheets. But it's the
I'm a Wawa guy.
But the Wawa is they got good. They got hoagies.
Hoagies there.
I like the pretzel. I've eaten so many pretzel bun sandwiches from fucking Sheetz in the middle of the night, completely wrecked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta grab some hoagies before you get down the shore.
Yep.
Yeah, you sure do.
Sure.
You sure do. Man, yeah, we're going for it today. Jason, my God, man, that took you back a little bit.
Ooh, this is good.
That took you back a little bit, didn't it?
That's good.
So it's 110 proof. That's what you just drank.
Well, feel it.
It's made in a bathtub.
What's the wildest cover you guys have played on stage? Any chance you do a T-Swift cover?
We've done some odd ones.
We did
Cyndi Lauper. We did Bowie. We've done.
Who did you do by Lauper?
Time After Time.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that song. Actually,
yeah.
Wait, who's that band that did the covers of the cover of the Taylor Swift song? It starts with an I.
I Prevail.
Oh yeah.
They rocked that one.
Yeah.
Although
they're great. You'd love them live too. I think you'd.
I've seen them live. Yeah, they're great. I don't like when they change the pronouns around though. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if.
Yeah.
Just say what she said.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
We don't think you're fucking doing gay shit just because you sang it that way. That's the song.
I'm gonna tie this together. Last night, so Keith and I will be doing, or I get to play a song with Keith, I should say.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Are you playing on his lap?
What's going on here?
Are you playing on his lap?
Why is it weird? What the fuck's happening?
So Keith has a solo project as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And so he does some shows on the side. He just did a tour. He has a tour coming up. He's going to Europe. Sorry, I'm plugging you here.
No, thank
you. Talking about you right in front of your face.
I'm too scared.
And then he's doing it. We're going to all be part of it, an acoustic show that he's doing in Dallas on Thursday.
Yeah.
And so we're all just going to kind of make up some bullshit songs and go swap out and play some covers, whatever.
Okay.
So there's a song that we were going to partake in. I won't say which one it is. So should I?
Huh. Go for it.
It's called Dick Down in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. That's a great song.
Right, yeah.
So we're going to play that song. And
that's a great song.
We were doing our research, or recon, if you will.
Yeah.
Kind of learning it last
night. Learning the lyrics, yep.
Yeah. And you pull it up on YouTube, and there's the gay version for karaoke.
Yeah.
And all it is he instead of she.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, this is the craziest thing I've ever fucking seen.
You're making a lot more. Like, you're doubling your profit.
Sure.
By just going gay.
Yeah.
Remember how artists, here's where I'm getting at. You remember how artists used to do like a Spanish version of their album?
Yes.
Maybe we need different pronoun versions.
Ugh, gross. I'm all done with that. Yep. I'm not doing
well,
that.
Well, there's not
I'm not doing that bullshit.
He, him, they, is that correct? Is
sure
that,
don't do any of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I saw it in your bio.
I think it's Zer.
Zer.
Come on, man.
I like to talk about myself in the third person. Yeah. I mean, and that might be a problem. I go Ricky Henderson with it. Deion Sanders.
Somebody in the chat here mentioned fuck, I can't see his name. Leo Mariculio, the Frog Leap Studios. You guys ever see any of his shit?
Mm-mm.
He's like a, I think he's Norwegian, but he does covers of pop songs as a metal artist. Started out pretty slow. Cool. I've actually been watching him for like 4 or 5 years. I think when I came across his shit the first time on YouTube, it was like 60,000 subscribers. Now I think he's like 6 million.
Dang.
Damn.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, isn't it?
He's so good at doing shit. Like he did a cover of Hello by Adele. Which I think, I think every metal.
That's cool.
I think that's one of the best songs ever written. And I think every metal band should be able to do that song.
That's impressive.
That'd be great. Nico Team Six gave us 50. Says here's half to that TS roster. I could do it for free. So
transition surgery.
Yeah.
So, TS.
Yeah. TS.
I think 50. You're gonna need more than $50 to get your dick lopped off.
Well,
I know a guy.
We know a guy in an alley who'll do it for 50. That's fine.
Did I tell you about that dude in Florida? Of course, it's in Florida. He was doing Brazilian butt lifts, and he got banned by the medical board down there from doing them because somebody died. I feel like.
God, what a way to go.
You shouldn't die from a butt surgery.
No, unless you're at another hole. It's just for comfort and ease, you know?
My butt lift went fine.
You mean
oh, it did.
Without a hitch.
Putting like
a dually.
From the sphincter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're eating a lot of meat, I guess.
Exactly. Then you got to go out twosies. I want to go side by side.
See, now you're
side.
Talking about this is your anogenital distance.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah.
I don't. Did you know that you guys spend too much time on a tour bus?
Yes,
the AGD,
if you will.
Like the entire conversation that led up to that statement just played in my head immediately.
Because
I've had the same fucking dumbass conversations in team rooms.
Yep. Yeah.
God damn.
A lot of sausage.
Well, you know.
He's talking about. So he just wrote back in. He said the TS woman that I picked out on the show the other day. That's going to happen. And I'm sure that's happened to you. You guys have a ton of fans out there. Have you ever gotten crossed up?
Not crossed. And first of all, we don't fucking care.
Of course,
you know what I mean? It's
just
like, absolutely. I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal out of it.
Yeah, literally nobody
cares. Just live how you want to live.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever made out with one? An accident?
Can neither confirm or deny.
Oh, there it is. That's the answer I was looking for. When'd you find out?
No, I
did
not.
You find out when you went to put your hand down below and it was weighted? It was like picking up a sack of grapes at Ralph's.
Is that Taiwan?
What?
The Lady Boys?
The Lady Boys.
It's Thailand.
Thailand.
Yeah. That's what I said. What'd you hear?
The Land of the Wan. Either one is good, you know?
Yeah.
Land gets a little crazier than the Wan.
Well, they've got it.
Yeah.
Well, this time of year specifically.
Oh, of course, dude. Yeah. Heavy monsoon season. I'm kidding. I know nothing about that area at all. Everything I know from Asia is through Rambo.
I'm surprised you pronounced all the words correctly, to be honest.
Well, you're welcome. And that's what 110 proof will do for you, you know?
It opens it up.
By the way, I saw Duran the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for you guys to cover Ordinary World. Huge fan of that one.
It's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, you did.
The band I used to be in, we did cover Ordinary World. So, yeah, very familiar with it.
Really?
It's a great song. Yeah.
It's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to interview those guys once, and it was really, for Drinking Bros,
mm-hmm.
it was really fucking funny.
Yeah.
We told them the Stevie Wonder story. Do you guys know that?
Mm-mm.
Stevie Wonder can see. Have you guys, can you confirm or deny that he can fucking see?
I've never met Stevie.
Oh, you haven't?
No,
okay.
No.
So the rumor is that he can fucking see, and Duran opened up for him one time, and I asked him, I was like, you know if Stevie can fucking see. So Shaquille O'Neal said it the other night. Who was it? Darnell Dawkins?
Yeah.
Right before he died, said the same thing. And I didn't know if you guys had met Stevie, and you're like, that motherfucker can see.
No.
All right.
I met him, yeah.
All right.
If that's the case, props, man.
Wow. Yeah.
Talk about a character actor. Like, dude.
Yeah, that's like you're making
that's a
fucking,
commitment.
That is.
You're making my left foot seem like no big deal at this point.
I know. I know. Where do you guys go personally, favorite bands? Like, who coming up? Who is your jam where you were like, holy shit?
It's always interesting to ask that question because Danny Warstomp is a metal guy, but he loves the blues more than anything else. That's the kind of music he actually likes.
I love
80s.
Gun to head, one band, one album for the rest of your life. You're on a fucking island. Who is
Genesis self-titled.
That's right. Is it really?
Yeah.
No shit. Phil Collins?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Or Synchronicity, Police is another
good
one.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. I love the Police.
Peter Gabriel.
Sting.
Really?
What do you think it is about
that? That's all in the same era. Why is that?
Yeah.
Just nostalgia, probably. I mean, you know, I'm an 80s kid. I remember, you know, listening to that stuff on the radio. And, you know, it takes me back. I love it. Yeah. great vocalist too. I'm a singer too, so I always appreciate good vocals. You know, Sting, Phil Collins.
Okay, so let's go greatest male vocalist of all time. I just had this conversation with some friends the other night. Greatest male vocalist of all time. Who do you got?
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Same. That was my answer too. Mm-hmm. Somebody else though at the party brought up Steve Perry, and I was
Steve
like,
Perry was my number two.
That's strong.
That is number two.
Yeah.
And then the third one that somebody else brought up was the drummer for the Eagles,
Don Henley.
Yeah. Who also has a great voice.
I'm not sure.
He's great, but nah.
I think he's more like unique great. And
yeah, he doesn't have the chops.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. And equally, though, how impressive is it that, you know, what Genesis' story is, you know, Phil Collins being the drummer, Peter Gabriel being the original singer.
Yeah. They're both greats.
They're like the vocalist version of, what's the band that Eric Beck and Clapton and all those guys were
Cream.
Together? Cream. No. Fuck.
Oh,
Yardbirds was Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, and
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page.
It's like,
you got the super group, but to have your lead singer leave and go, you know, I think I'm going to start my own thing, and the drummer's like, what? I think I can sing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and he just steps up. Incredible. Phil Collins, nice,
awesome.
Well, that's kind of what happened with. There's been some bands like that before, right? Mm-hmm. Where a guy...
Well, the Eagles were like that. So you had...
Well, had multiple singers, yeah.
It was Don Fry, right? And then... Yeah. I'm sorry, Don Henley, and then...
Don Fry, the fighter. Don Fry's a fighter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Glenn Fry.
Glenn Fry, yeah. So you had the two of them who were both equally great on their own. They each went on to have solo careers. Yeah.
But All That Remains was like that, too. Like, Phil was a guitarist. Mm-hmm. He didn't sing until, like, All That Remains. Yeah.
Adam D. from Killswitch was the drummer.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Foo Fighters?
Yep.
Dave Grohl and those guys?
Dave Grohl just like...
not fair.
He's Midas. He's Midas for the music industry.
Have like, you guys partied with him?
Anything he does, it fucking works.
I haven't met him. I met him one time. It was just in passing. He was at a Grammy thing. And there were so many people there. And those after parties, like the only camera there is a publicist. You know? Mm-hmm. And the only people that are getting in is you and your publicist. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty... Feels a little dirty, a little bit, like a little scripted, but at the same time, there is a little bit of relaxed factor because no one else is getting in. I remember Ron Jeremy trying to get in, and they wouldn't let him in.
We tell stories about him all the time. He always, like for 30 years, that dude has been trying to get into parties he's not invited to.
Yes.
But come Ron Jeremy, and it was like, okay, that's...
You're in a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops, dude.
That's interesting, but you're not...
This is the Oscars.
Well, he's finally in the party he was supposed to be in, which is jail.
Yeah,
and,
forever.
That's going to be forever on that one. But, yeah, with the Dave Grohl sitch, what happens if one of your bandmates dies? Do you go on?
Oh, man. We
Have you guys chatted about that?
Something like that. We also chatted about what a powerful member of the band Taylor Hawken was that happened.
Yeah.
That wouldn't necessarily be... So-and-so lost a band member, these many people.
You're talking about the tribute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you guys watch his kid the other night come up on stage and play?
Dude, it was so
Holy
awesome.
Shit,
he
man.
Destroyed it.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Even I got chills, and I've seen it like twice now online. It was amazing. But what happens? Do you guys end it there? And do you think they end it?
I mean, I would hope not. If I was gone, I would want everybody to just go. Keep going.
Yeah, I would say the same. And I also think it depends on who it is. I mean, look at Linkin Park. I don't know if you can replace Chester.
You can't replace that voice.
No.
Uh-uh.
Mm-mm. And there were rumors for a while of people maybe coming in and whatever, but nobody's going to have those chops.
Chemistry, but
exactly that's
beyond
part of it
just
too.
Beyond just his talent. The chemistry between those two was too good.
Too like good.
But kids. That voice was just—I mean, you just knew it.
Iconic.
That was Linkin Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know anybody else in the band.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds fucked up, but I know him and I know his voice.
Still, Mike Schroeder from Fort Minor.
Yeah.
They did a little. God. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
10% luck.
Yeah, we've been waiting to get a Fort Minor bit in here for a while.
I'm gone. Carry
show.
On.
Yeah, one of you assholes did mention Fort Minor earlier.
Oh yeah, dude.
I think it was.
You guys are huge Fort Minor fans.
It was a decent side project.
I can't stop looking at Charles III's fucking hands. Can we put those back up on the screen?
Sausage fingers.
Can
on
you throw
the
those back up
again.
There for a second, please?
Look
God
at those
damn
things.
It, dude. Fuck. That's your king, England. Yeah. This is why you lost the fucking war.
100% reason to remember the name right there.
Did he lose the top of the ring finger there?
Oh, that whole hand has probably gone to diabetes at this point.
I think these are appropriate king hands, to be quite
honest. True.
Yeah, that's true. Fat and greasy.
This is what homeboy should have looked like in the Tudors the whole time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. 100%.
Fat
yeah.
fucking sausage hands this close to death.
With hands like that, this is true, by the way. I'm in my 40s. Slightly older than you, Ross.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I'm 33.
He's 65 years old.
You're about 7 summers older than me. Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. But first time I got my prostate checked was by a doctor with big old sausage fingers just like that.
Damn it. Better
every
worse.
Time I see that, that's all I can think about now.
Did
so
he
thank
use
you.
Like lube or spit?
I don't
that's
know.
That's how you can tell if your HMO is working
too busy
properly.
Crying.
Yeah. Like if the doctor just, if he puts on the gloves and then spits on his hand, you know you're in trouble.
Oh,
right? Yeah.
And then if he's like doing the check with both hands on your shoulders, you're now it's time to start asking questions.
Sure that, yes, is. Right? And then once his penis is inserted, then you stop asking questions. Well, just wait for it to end.
Once I stopped crying, it wasn't that bad. PTSD, what is it? Ayahuasca, is that what I should try? Is that what I need to get over?
Ibogaine, I think, is probably good.
That's what,
yeah, you got to really erase that memory.
Do you know anybody?
I sure do.
I might know a guy.
Sure do.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about
a lot of people in the chat are saying they teach Chris Cornell in vocal classes. Is that true?
I can see it.
I don't know how you could teach that. Like the vocal fry he had, I don't know if you can teach that, man.
No.
Like, he's a very unique singer.
There's some other artists that have that. There's a guy... Ian Thornley, he had a band called Thornley, and then he has another band called Big Wreck. Mm-hmm. Sounds a lot like that, similar tone kind of thing. There are techniques that you can do to, I think...
Get your voice there?
Yeah. I mean, Keith's more of a singer than I am, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, practice. I mean, but I feel like...
Vocal fry.
Some of it you just have. Some people, yeah, I don't know.
Well, and he was the first one of the plate that did that and made that kind of sound. So maybe you'll hear it emulated. But
Temple of the Dog, Hunger Strike, greatest song of all time, yes or no?
No.
No. No.
It's Chris Cornell, dude.
I thought you said Walking in Memphis was the best song.
No, this is from the chat. People love Chris Cornell.
Yeah,
that's
I like
his,
Chris Cornell. Yeah.
That's his best song, I think.
It's a song about pores.
I don't mind stealing. Oh, you know well, it. You know exactly
that's Eddie
Vedder.
Vedder sang that part of the song.
Well, it's Vedder and
yeah,
Chris
but Vedder
Cornell.
Sang the part that I think.
From the mound.
Since you guys are on with Allison Chains, Lance Daly probably had one of the more unique voices.
No question,
for sure.
Yep.
Like I don't know that I've ever we've heard people try to emulate Cornell. Everybody, maybe not Vedder that much. I don't know if I've heard a lot of people try to emulate him, but definitely Cornell and some of the other guys. No, I've never heard anybody come close to what Lance Daly sounded like.
No.
Yeah.
And William, their new singer, in his defense, he's not
great.
Trying to be.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, you just got to do your own thing.
He does his own thing. And he's great.
Jerry's so talented also. Like, you don't need to replicate what they did before. Mm-hmm.
No. And he does it great, and you're just as entertained. It's pretty organic. I think it works out.
Corey Taylor's got a great voice, too.
Yep.
Somebody mentioned him in this chat right now. Slipknot. Because of their first like 10 studio albums, everyone's like, "Oh, this guy just yells his ass off."
Yeah.
If you've heard him,
turns
sing,
out,
yeah, he can sing.
He can fucking sing pretty goddamn good. Actually,
checks out. Yeah, he's talented.
It is how he happens to be really good at the metal thing. But if he was just a classical singer, he would also be pretty goddamn good.
Yes.
Yeah. Who do you guys show up for? You show up for any jam bands at all? Fish or Grateful Dead?
When I was
or
younger,
Dave Matthews.
I did some Dave Matthews.
Okay,
but. Yeah, no, not really.
Did you
really.
Actually like Dave Matthews, or were you just trying to fuck the girls at the Dave Matthews concert?
Well, I was a music nerd, so I actually did like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he's one of the greatest guitarists of all time, right? Yeah.
Well, he had giant goddamn hands, right?
So a lot of good guitar players do.
He tuned,
with a pinky ring.
Yeah, he tuned his top key or his top string down and played the E with his thumb, right?
Yeah, John Mayer does that same thing. Yeah.
Got giant hands. John Mayer's got a giant cock, too.
Huge cock. Have you seen his cock?
In person, only 3 times.
He's got a two-hander.
Yeah, pull that cock up, please.
So just type in John Mayer pissing and then show these guys. It's a fucking hog, dude.
Obviously, don't put that on the live.
There it is. Yeah, don't put it on the YouTube feed, but blow that up for them because that's a smaller screen.
I don't think you need to. I think you're good.
Well,
he's got a hammer on him.
The interesting thing is if you zoom in on the picture
there
and then
is.
Scroll down
Look
a little
at
bit,
that.
We don't need to see his face. That's a woman's... face that they blurred out.
Oh, was she blowing him and then he was like, hang on, I gotta piss? His balls are saggy still. Jesus Christ, look at that thing, dude. Congratulations, John Mayer, you know? Jason, you seem shook by that dong, dude.
I think you need to get your merch guy up here and put that on a t-shirt.
Exactly.
Terry?
Yeah, Terry, get up here and put that on a t-shirt.
Terry, this is what we call a two-hander in the biz.
Mayorcock.
Yeah.
John Mayorcock. Yeah. Oh, he's on it. Thumbs, I got a thumbs up.
He's on it.
Mayorcock.
He's, he's already back into his laptop working.
Sure is, dude.
.edu.
Yeah.
.edu.
Yeah.
That cock's on hunger strike. Look at that.
It'll
thing,
teach
dude.
You a couple of things.
I don't mind stealing cock.
That anteater eats whatever it wants.
Sure does. Good for him. But his guitar face is the fucking worst. Do you work on that?
Yeah.
Because you guys are both guitarists. Do you ever do the... He does the Shivo. He does the Terry Shivo.
It's Robert De Niro in the mirror. You feeling like you feeling lucky?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to get the fucking shit down.
Yeah. There's obviously some subconscious things happening there, but I always tried to make... a very conscious effort not to do those
definitely
things.
Show Bob,
especially blues guys, since you're
John Mayer's faces while he's playing guitar, it looks identical to Shivo. It's very Terry Shivo, and we love her on the show.
Well, it's what happens when a white there's one right there.
Oh yeah. Oh god,
it's what happens when a white man plays bluesy music.
Blow that up for the world to see. Oh, God.
That looks like a guy about to bang Jennifer Aniston.
Sure does. Sure does, doesn't it? Or a guy about to take a dick from Michael Jackson. I mean, look at the mouth wide open. He's just ready for it.
With
there's
arms
better
open.
Ones. There it is. Yeah, pop up one.
Yeah, that's the face
guys.
Of when she keeps sucking.
That's it. Ooh. That's the one that I always think of when I think of John Mayer.
That's the face
that's Shivo.
That's prostate exam. That's what that is.
That's
somebody getting milked.
That's Shivo right there.
That's the face when you have an extra 21st chromosome.
That's a full daughter's Shivo. Yeah, fathers, be good to your Shivo.
Hashtag science.
Yeah. You guys ever cover John Mayer? Or just his dick?
Oh, no. We met him.
Write a tribute song to his cock.
Yeah.
Just in case you run into him, like, hey, John, like, I know this is
weird. It's already been written.
But...
It's called The Reason by Hoobastank. Yeah. Most people don't know that.
That's a deep cut right there.
Most people
it's
don't know
real
that.
Deep cut. Yeah. Oh, for off the cuff, that's as good as it gets today. We might as well end on that.
Yeah, I think
now's
it's
the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. We'll start with you, Keith Wallen.
I would say my father, Dan Wallen.
Dan Wallen, right?
Dan Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, Dan Morgan Wallen.
He goes by Morgan, obviously.
He goes by N-word. And, yeah. What did Dan do that was so important and instrumental?
Well, so he was a musician also. He was a singer.
Okay.
And, he always was very encouraging and very supportive of my dreams and aspirations of being a musician myself. So, yeah, I was very appreciative of that.
That's awesome.
I'm sure for a parent it can seem problematic. From like
definitely.
From ages like 16 to 25 before you actually start making money, they're like, hey, you know, maybe...
Oh, yeah. That's the last thing you want to hear.
You're going to be poor. Yeah.
Your buddies are all doctors.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like a real
so
job?
What do you really do, though?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, people have been asking us that for years. I'm like, well, what I really do is make more money than you.
Yeah.
So,
Who do you got for Drinking Bro of the Week, Jason?
I want to say Jerome, our tour manager. He's a big fan of the show. So,
yeah, you guys have been, like, when the Seltzer first came out, when this tour first started, he and Jerome were fucking chugging, I think, a peach hearty before
Because I got a couple cases. I live in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I brought some cases out for the run, and yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Does he enjoy it?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
We enjoy it, too.
And
much.
He's not a pussy, too. Like, he'll fucking...
Yeah, we'll murder it.
He chugs one down, yeah.
Yeah, he gets down. He gets down.
That's what you would expect out of an experienced fucking tour manager. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how long, if being a lightweight, I don't know how you could last.
You don't.
Very long in a situation like that.
You don't.
And I'm sure that guy's seen it all at this point, right?
Yeah. Oh, seen a few things.
Yeah. Seen a
lot
few
of great
things.
Things.
He's been
had to deal with a lot of great things. It's like a giant, old adult babysitter.
What's the, what's the Leif Schreiber Showtime thing where he's a fixer? What's that called?
Oh, fuck. Ray Donovan.
Yeah, he's like... Mm-hmm. It's there, Ray Donovan.
I'm not saying
he's covered up murders and shit, but he...
Yeah, he's definitely the guy from Breaking Bad that's walking through.
He fixes shit up, yeah.
All right.
Yep. I need you to go here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He's the wolf from Pulp
Mike.
Fiction. Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike.
Mike.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Tell everybody where they can find you in the upcoming weeks here. Because we're live. This airs tonight, so you're good to go.
So we're actually playing Austin tomorrow, like you had said.
Yep.
We'll be in Dallas on Friday, and then I have no idea where after that. So check online. We got about...
Where does everybody go online? They just go to BreakingBenjamin.com?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Tour schedule there. Like I said,
well, let's see.
Bush.
I got it. So Thursday, it looks like. Oh, wait, that's Friday.
Yeah, Friday
in Dallas. Saturday in Houston. The following Monday in Rogers,
Walmart.
Arkansas.
Go to see Walmart.
Then they're in Missouri and Maryland Heights on the 21st. Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Michigan.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And the 23rd. Then Raleigh, North Carolina on the 27th. That's a nice place.
We
there's a lot of, if you're out at Fort Bragg, definitely you want to go up for that.
Yeah, we got a lot of fans in Raleigh.
Then in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Oh,
the,
shit.
Ameris Bank Amphitheater.
I love that place. Yeah, Dave Matthews was just there, by the way. Speaking of Dave, so yeah.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
I have no shit.
Plays two venues a night.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He had one of the better storytellers, I thought.
I thought so, too. Like, we talked about that cave cricket.
Yeah, they need to fucking, they need to bring that show back.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, like, what MTV Unplugged was awesome.
It was awesome.
So many good fucking shows.
They brought it back for a little bit.
Alice in Chains was one of them. Yeah, Nirvana was one of the best.
Yeah.
So
such
fucking
good.
And the albums they released afterwards, that and the storytellers, I really enjoyed that. I don't know why they just do reality fucking television now and not music.
Well, what happened was now they've been branded as a reality television outlet that they don't, nobody goes to them for music anymore. So
sucks,
those shows get buried. But on the flip side of that, people do go to YouTube. Do you guys put more money into your videos now that everybody is on YouTube and it is such a big part of it?
Ironically, I would say no. The reason being
is shit.
One, budgets. Those are typically paid for, obviously, by your label and things like that. So those
are you guys are your own label now or no?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, so with Hollywood Records for five albums.
Five and one, yeah.
It was awesome. They're great. Nothing bad to say about those. We saw some of the guys, and we were Irvine.
Yeah.
We just played. We saw some of them out there, so nothing bad to say there. Yeah, I mean, you got your budgets. You got some other things. But back in the day, you could have a six-figure video easily every single time.
Yeah. It was like $1.50 to get a video done.
Easy,
yeah.
You can do similar things with technology and things for a third of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can grab a guy like Jared, and he'll crank you out a music video in 3 days. Man.
Yeah, for 15K.
That's great. And lots of times, you know, those guys are more hungry, and they're more artsy, and it's just better. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of focus on live footage stuff for rock bands too, you know. So the older, more visual, conceptual. You're not going to see another November Rain anytime soon.
Damn it! How did she die? Because he jumped through the cake, and it was like a lot of speculation that she got chopped in half or was electrocuted. How did she die in November Rain?
She was one of the pilots.
She went out on top. I'll tell you that much.
She was one of the pilots in 9/11. Actually, is what happened.
Oh, is that what happened? Yeah, before Axel knew before.
She was the one that got shot down in Pennsylvania, I think.
Oh, okay. Hey, have you guys ever played with Guns N' Roses?
Not. We just played with Metallica, but we haven't done Guns N' Roses.
Oh, shit. How are they in real life?
What's that crowd like? Yeah. Holy shit.
It was wild.
Can Metallica even show up with like 30,000 people showing up? I mean, honestly.
No.
Jesus it was big. Christ, dude.
I mean, how big was that show?
It was big. I mean, it was louder than live. It was a festival.
Yeah.
But that was
60,
that's
maybe?
My number one. That is like the one celebrity, like James Hetfield, meeting him. That's like, I'm like. Yeah, hero.
They got a whiskey. For they gave us a bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm. I got to hold his guitar. I was close enough.
You're geeking out about that kind of stuff. It was.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
What does he play now?
Still doing ESP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ESP.
I think he has a Gibson or two that he buys because he can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kurt, he has a guitar called Greeny.
He could buy
that. He paid $2 million for.
He could buy a Gibson. If he wanted, right? I mean, let's be real. Each
probably
one of the,
not.
And you know what? It might be up for sale again, right?
The
now.
Three core guys are worth a half bill each.
Yeah, they're up there.
Like out the door, like for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially Lars is probably more than that. He's probably like
he's
over
the
bill
he's the breadwinner.
Yeah, if you see a homeless guy playing Metallica in the street, Lars is gonna fucking sue him.
That's right.
Yeah, he'll find him and sue him.
Well, he's poor, so dirty pores.
Tell everybody where they can find you online and social media.
Social media. So we got Breaking Benjamin at anything you got: Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Jason Rao for famous guy. Very inconvenient spelling of both of your names.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like, you can find me at Jason Rao. Like, how do you spell that? Because neither one of your names are spelled correctly.
No. Yeah, Jasenrauch.
Yeah.
So
it's phonetic.
Jacine
it's just
Rock.
Phonetic. You know. Yeah. Actually, the bar we went to downtown last night. The bartender, he was an older guy, probably in his 50s, and he came up and
white.
He was a white, yes,
okay.
White man.
He was a white. Yes.
White.
It's important. It's
and
important.
But he came up to me and he was like, "Holy shit, I spell my name the same, and I've never seen it. I've never heard it ever." He's a Jasen too.
No shit.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever heard of that.
To be honest,
did you dock up?
Yeah. Did you touch wieners?
We're still linked. The Chinese finger trap.
Last question before we get out of here: have you guys broke Benjamin?
Oh, that broke a long time ago, my friend.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yep.
That's what I wanted to hear. Breaking Benjamin is on tour everywhere across the country. Huge fan of you guys. Thanks for stopping by. You've been on the show a bunch. You're new to the show.
I'm the new guy. Yeah.
This is the first time, but definitely not the last.
Not the last. And then after we all have sex afterwards, you'll be back. They always come back.
If the baby comes out with a mullet, it'll either be his or Laszlo Lopez.
Exactly. I'll drink to that. Yeah.
So. Cheers. Check out Breaking Benjamin in a city near you. Thanks for stopping by today. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.